And he loved you so much that you deserve to pay for your sin, and I deserve to pay for my sin, but because there's a God in heaven that loved us, his own son came to this earth, and he shed his precious blood. First of all, though, he lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years, born of a virgin, lived on this earth, was wrongfully tried, wrongfully accused, wrongfully put to death, and went to the old rugged cross, gave up his life, put in a borrowed tomb, and on that third day he raised from the dead. You know what? That's the greatest message I've ever heard in my life. Changed my life. I can go to bed tonight with peace and hope in my heart because of that message. And because I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, I hope and pray that everyone here tonight that you know him personally. By the way, you're not going to go to heaven because you have religion. Religion saves no one, has never saved anyone, but you must have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you enter into this relationship by faith. Isn't it amazing how God, the great God, creator God, that knowest all things, that made all things, had us in mind? That he gave salvation, his way was that even a child can be saved with faith. And I'm thankful we got good news on Sunday. Miss Helen has been coming for a long, long time. And Brother Mark and Miss Marka, they gave the gospel over there in Children's Church. And she came forward and trusted the Lord. She went and talked to Janet. And she made a profession when she was younger. But she truly believes that this past week is when she asked Jesus to save her. She understood. Isn't that wonderful? And, you know, when you have children here, and we have so many, and I hope every teenager is listening tonight, because I can promise you this, there's a whole lot worse things you can be doing. And I wish I had some times back when I was sitting in a church, because I always went to church, and I was always there, and there was a lot of messages that went one through here, and went through this here, and went through the other, and didn't affect anything else, but oh, I wish to God that I'd had it to do over with. I'd have taken those things to heart. And so tonight, if you'll look and open your precious Word of God tonight to the book of Romans chapter 10, we've just been going right through the book. We've not skipped anything. I think this is about the 39th message we've preached out of the book of Romans, and we started this thing probably in December of last year. So it's been going on a long time, and we're still in chapter 10. That just goes to show you the Word of God is inexhaustible. And I'm telling you right now, Romans chapter 10, if more than likely, if someone's going to try to lead somebody to the Lord, show them the way, chapter 10 is a hard one to miss. We call it the Romans Road, and of course, we've looked at all of it, and now this is the last verse that most people use in the Romans Road, and we're looking at that. But in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Boy, I love that, don't you? Thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, not hope. He said, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't y'all like that verse? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Yes, they knew. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them, notice this, I was found of them that sought me not. Now he's talking about the Gentiles. That's us. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So we must understand that the primary audience for chapter 10 is the Jewish audience. But there are so many applications here, and of course this is the greatest message, and that's just the title. The greatest message we'll ever hear is the gospel. The gospel, and I'm so thankful, it's so very simple, so very clear. Now, I'm not going to run rabbits. I know I touched on this last week, but I just need to touch on it again. I've been thinking about it, and, you know, I call him a friend. I don't know if he would be a friend, but he's another, you know, preacher here in the area, and he must like us because he certainly does spend a lot of time writing about us and writing about our church. Now, Brother Larry helped me with that years ago because I first was enticed to call this man and I had a little conversation with him on the phone, and I come to find out that he took everything I said and he misrepresented in writing. But here's what amazed me. Brother Larry said, Pastor, don't get all upset about it, because even though he's talking about you, here's what's amazing. He's given the gospel because he's explaining the way we believe, trying to defute his belief. And here's what amazes me. You know, Brother Clay's been up here at the Bible Club teaching, and he's been teaching and giving the gospel. And so on our tracts and all of our literature, heaven can be yours, and we know that it can be by ours by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote on his thing, he said, now, I'm a little upset because a young man by the name of Clay Brandon is propagating some information up here at the school. And he said, I disagree with it. And then he said, but the real source of the problem and the confusion is his father. You know what, I'm thankful Clay's wise, but I said, Brother Clay, we ought to write that man an exposition on that you have more than just what your dad says. This is something that he believes. There's no confusion. Now, then he went on through that article and explained and how he correlated Pastor Scripture, Brother Larry, and he finally, this is his belief. He came around with all these verses here in Romans chapter 10, called upon the name of the Lord. He worked that thing out to where that called on the Lord meant you got baptized. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm just going to be honest with you. For me, it's harder to get that than just to believe what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Now listen, teenagers, don't get shook. Don't be shaken. Your salvation is not something you earn. Your salvation is not something you merit. There is no work on this earth that you can do to gain heaven and righteousness with God. The Bible very clearly says that with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made known, and whosoever shall call with the mouth upon the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say might be, didn't say could be, said you shall be. So don't be shaken. This is not my doctrine, by the way. We call it Baptist doctrine. It's not even Baptist doctrine. It's the Bible. It's what the Bible teaches. Anywhere that you read the Word of God, and of course, we read passages about a baptism, but we understand with Scripture upon Scripture, we understand that baptism is not an act of salvation, but is a step of obedience to our Lord's command. It always has to do with after someone trusts Christ. Was it not in Acts chapter 8 where the eunuch, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, is what hindered me to be baptized? And the Bible said they both went down into water. He baptized him. It was after salvation. And again, I say to you, Galatians 2:20 says, for if righteousness could come by law, then Christ be dead in vain. If there's something I could do, if there was some kind of water that could wash my sins away, listen to me, it's just as simple as 2 + 2 = 4. I don't know a whole lot, but I can promise you this. If it ain't broke, I'm not going to fix it, and I'm going to promise you this. Why would Jesus Christ come to this earth, live a sinless life for 33 and a half years, born of a virgin, go to an old rugged cross, bleed and die, pay for the sins of the whole world, and we got to trust him and get baptized? Why don't we just cut the baptism out? Well, if we could get baptized and be saved, Brother Larry, then why would he go through all the trouble Y'all with me tonight? So I'm just going to be honest with you. Common sense tells us. But again, it's not even common sense. We believe the word. We read the word. So I'm saying all of this to you tonight, that your salvation should be settled based on the word of God. Not the way you feel, not because of what somebody else tells you. Romans chapter 10 is a good anchor point. It'll anchor you down. It will settle you down. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the greatest message I've ever heard in my life. And so we talk about the gospel. It's been provided by God. It's available. I'm thankful it's available to whoever. The Bible says whosoever will. I'm thankful that it's not only available, it's unchangeable. It's God's way. Man can't change it. This is God's way. We've seen that it's inexhaustible. By the way, call on the name of the Lord was the way people got saved years gone by. And by the way, it's still the way that people get saved today. God's way hasn't changed. There's not too many whosoever's. God says, for whosoever. And that means whosoever. You cannot exhaust. His grace is inexhaustible. So we find that it's provided. We see that it's proclaimed. Verse 14, it must be proclaimed. And this was the application that I gave last week. It ought to burden our hearts that we ought to be telling people about the Lord Jesus. And I've even heard some people say, well, now, Pastor, I'm not comfortable talking to people about the Lord. I've talked to these teenagers. Y'all say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. In high school, it's hard to talk to people about the Lord. All right, I'll give you that. But I can tell every one of you right now, you might not want to talk to them about it, but I tell you what you can do. You sure can invite them to No Excuse Sunday, and we'll talk to them about it. They'll hear it. They'll hear it. I promise you, if you'll get people here on No Excuse Sunday, they're going to hear the greatest message in the world. And it's not because the preacher gives it. It's the best message because it is a message of hope and peace. And so when I think about this, we ought to be telling people, sharing. We ought to be teaching. We ought to be showing. We ought to be interested. We ought to be testifying. We ought to be handing out tracts. We ought to be texting. We ought to be tweeting. We ought to be Facebooking it. I mean, we ought to be getting out the message of the gospel. So it must be proclaimed. And then we see the ministry. If you see there in verse number 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. And I don't want you to get discouraged, but when you proclaim the gospel, you teach the gospel, you share the gospel, not everybody's going to listen. Not everybody's going to accept it. But it cannot get you discouraged. He tells us that not everyone's going to obey the gospel. But I praise God for verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. But I know some that will. And we talked about fishing last week. If you do a trot line, if you throw out lines, we were talking about them little curly-tailed grubs, you know. Dad used to buy them by the hundreds. Why? You fish in the river, you lose them. But, you know, if you're going to be tight and only get you one little lure, you're not going to keep it long. And you're probably not going to catch because you're probably going to get hung up on it. So what I'm saying here is we can get more of these. Y'all just cast them out. And here's what I've learned. The more you give out, the more of a chance you have for somebody to listen. So we've got to proclaim it, and we cannot allow folks that tell us no and that will not obey the gospel to discourage us from continuing to give it. So we see the message must be proclaimed. We know the ministry, it can be rejected, but it also will be accepted. But can I say, the next thing that I want to look at is in verse 18. Notice this, but I say, have they not heard? Now that question's yes. The answer to that question is yes. Here's the mandate. The mandate is to hear and to respond to the gospel. That's a mandate. Now notice, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth and their words into the ends of the world. And so I want to say, Paul was grieved. His heart was grieved for his dearly beloved kinsmen that had rejected Christ. He was grieved. And by the way, I can say, that's our greatest grieving. You think about it a minute. There's a lot of things going on in life that trouble us, but can you imagine someone that you're burdened for, that you love, and you know what their problem is? And by the way, if they don't have the Lord, that's their greatest problem. And we get burdened. I can imagine as he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writing this, he's burdened. He's burdened because he wants his, the Bible says he'd be a curse that his kinsmen might get saved. And so I can imagine and I can relate a little bit because I get burdened over people that just won't listen, will not do what the gospel says. But here's where he can go to bed at night and rest his head on the pillow. Here's what he can do. He can understand this. He cannot take responsibility for what the person chooses to do. The only thing that he can make sure is that he's given them the truth. See, we can rest our head at night. We can rest our head at night if we're following the mandate. The mandate is we're to hear the truth. We're to give the truth. And it's there, the person that gives the truth, it's their responsibility to give the truth. It's not their responsibility for what the listener does with it. And you know what we struggle with? What I struggle with the most is I'm more concerned about what that listener does with it. But you know what? The Bible says, have they not heard? The mandate's this. It must be given. But the mandate also is each individual listener has to obey or disobey the gospel. And I can rest at night. You should be able to rest tonight to know what we've given them the truth. Now God's going to have to work in their heart. That's what the Apostle Paul's dealing with here. He's grieved because he's saying, but I say, have they not heard? He's why aren't these Jewish people, have they not heard? Oh, yes, they've heard. But I say, he knew that he presented it. He can rest because he knew that he had presented it. Now, I want to ask you tonight, can you rest? Can I rest? Now, it's personal responsibility. I think about this. You know, there are times when people just leave a church and it's nobody's fault. Sometimes people just get out in the world, sin starts to overtake their life. Like we talked about at the marriage retreat, some people just start having marital trouble and their marriage breaks up. And so the ultimate thing of that, certainly if your marriage breaks up, most people get out of church. So it's not always something at the church. Some people say, well, they just didn't like the preaching. Well, sometimes maybe somebody might leave because they don't like the preaching. But I'll be honest with you, I've seen very little of that too. You say, well, Pastor, then when we're talking about this whole situation, why is people, all I can say is this. If I have done something to someone and I know it, and I know it, I can't rest at night unless I know they know that I'm sorry. I can't go to bed and rest unless I know my conscience is clear. Now, somebody might up and leave, but if it's because of the pastor and the pastor knows, and if it's because of you and you know it, you shouldn't be able to sleep at night either until you got that off your chest and at least talked to him and told him you're sorry. Same with the gospel. I can rest at night as long as I know that I've done my part by giving the truth in the right way and in the right spirit. Because the mandate's this. Did Israel know? Yes, they knew. They'd been told. Paul was a great preacher of the gospel, and so we understand that the mandate's very clear. People must be given the truth, they must hear the truth, and they must respond to the truth. Aren't you glad one day that someone gave you the truth and the Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart and you said yes to him? Do you know no matter how much that person giving you the gospel was praying for you and wanting you to get saved, he couldn't do a thing about it. It becomes the responsibility of the truth comes up to the listener at that moment. And so we understand we must do our part. We must tell. We must share. Once they've heard, the decision rests upon them. We're not going to give an account for their response, but we are going to give an account whether we tell them or not. And I hope and pray that we're out telling people the greatest news, the greatest message. By the way, we have printed tracts. As you walk out the hallway here, I wish you would go through, and I wish we'd empty all these tracts tonight, and you go out and about on your way, you find people to hand those to, you go to Walmart, wherever you're at. And by the way, if you don't think people are a little concerned, and by the way, they are concerned, people are concerned right now because of things going on. Number one, they're unsure about our country. Number two, now because of all these viruses and this corona thing, I'm going to tell you something, there's people wondering and worrying. There really are. There's people, and you say, Pastor, is now a good time? There's no better time than to give them a message of hope. That's our responsibility. That's the mandate. The Great Commission is still our mission. And so when I say the mandate is very clear, we understand it, and we understand that that is salvation was provided by the Lord. It's been proclaimed. But I want you to notice quickly the persuasion. Look at verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Here's the persuasion. Here's the persuasive power of the gospel. Look at verse number 19. He's talking about the confrontation. Listen to me. Although many Jews rejected the gospel, they could not claim ignorance. They couldn't say, we didn't know. And by the way, there's a lot of people today, right now today, they're not going to be able to say they don't know. And by the way, for every teenager in here tonight, you've heard the gospel already tonight. You're not going to be able to say, well, I never heard it, God. Because you've heard it. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You must personally trust Him as your Savior by faith. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for our sin. He came to this old earth, was born of a virgin, lived for 33 and a half sinless years, went to an old rugged cross. He didn't just do that because he wanted to. He did that, yes, because he wanted to, but he did that to pay for the sin that we've committed, and he died. And God the Father's wrath rolled, the billows of God's wrath rolled against his son. The Bible said that the earth went black for three hours. Could you imagine the wrath that was rolled upon God? Whose wrath do you think he was taking? He was taking ours. Whose sin was he paying for? He was paying for ours. And when he gave up the ghost, he was put in a tomb, literally dead. His body was taken, literally placed in a borrowed tomb. And listen to me, 3 days later, his body came up out of there, literally. And because he came up out of that grave, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he's the veil. He's the way. He's the truth. So listen to me, young person, if you're here tonight, you know Jesus Christ is the way, the only way. The question is, what will you do with it? What have I done with it? What have you done with it? Do you know why? You know why people reject the gospel? You know why the Jewish people rejected the truth, the gospel? It went against their traditions and their preferences. You know why people reject the gospel today? Because it's confrontational. It confronts us right where we are. You know what it confronts? You know what the gospel tells me, Brother Hunter? That I'm a nasty old sinner. And you tell me who likes being called that. What human being do you know likes to say, oh, I know I'm unworthy? How many people today do you think, I ain't doing nothing wrong. If I feel like it, I can do it. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, I hear a lot about that today. But you tell me, why do so many people reject the gospel? Because it confronts us right where we are. It deals with our depravity. You know what? The Bible says our heart's deceitfully, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The gospel reveals that. That's powerful. The gospel's confrontational. Somebody will say, well, Pastor, I just wish you wasn't so confrontational. You tell me, how in the world can you talk to people about the Lord and not be confrontational? And by the way, we live in a day now where we don't even want to touch sin. But can I help everybody here? You want to live a life worth living, then stay away from sin. I don't care what the world calls it. I don't care if it's a lifestyle. Listen to me. This is what God says about sin. It brings death. Do we want to tiptoe around death? Do we want to just say, oh, go ahead, Ray. It ain't going to hurt you. Go ahead. I don't want to offend him or anything. Well, would you rather offend him than him to die? I mean, that's where we're at. Well, I tell you what, if I say anything, I'm going to make him mad. Well, You can still do it right, but by the way, I've learned this. Most people don't get mad because the way you say it, they don't like what you say. The truth confronts me right where I'm at, and it says, Mark, you're wrong. You're wrong. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you think. The Bible says you're wrong, Mark. And that's why people reject. You know why? Because it don't fit their narrative. I know some people on television, you can't ever deal with them with the truth because it don't fit their narrative. Well, we don't need facts. The facts don't help us get what we want. The facts don't care. We want to impeach the president. Somebody say amen. Because the facts are there, but if we don't care about, that's why that's why the gospel is so confrontational, because you can't get away from it. When the Lord Jesus showed up and revealed himself and the Holy Spirit of God convicted me, I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't anybody else around. Nobody knew what I was doing. But I remember one of the most convicting days of my life. I was driving down an old country road on the side of the Greenbrier River, and it started to snow that night. There wasn't anybody knew where I was. Nobody. That was before trackers. That was before, you know, all this stuff. You can find out where, how fast they're going. Look at me. But I'm going to tell you who was tracking me. I'll never forget that night, Brother Mark. I was driving down that road. It was kind of late. It was really early spring, probably about this time. A little weird. It started snowing. I mean, big old snowflakes. And I was driving down the road, and about that time, I'm being honest with you, on the dark road, and it was like a big fluorescent LED light just shone down, and it was like, Mark, what you doing? I'm doing all right, God. No, you're not. Where you been, Mark? Oh, I'm all right, God. No, you're not. You keep going this route, Mark, you're going to ruin your life. You're a Christian, Mark. You've asked me to save you. You're not in right fellowship with me. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Spirit of God so convicted me. I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Chris, there wasn't a soul around. It was pitch dark, snow coming down. I got out of my truck. And all I could do was just throw myself over on the hood of my truck. And I said, God, you got me. Please forgive me. I want to tell you something. There's power in the Spirit of God when he convicts you. And you know what? We're scared of that for people now. Oh, we got to help them. No, listen. When the Spirit's doing his work, let him have his way. I remember there was a revival going on in New Hebrides, and there was an old man, and it was the husband of this woman. They heard that the man was under conviction, Brother Ray, and they called for the pastor and the evangelist, and they come down there to the house, and that man was wailing and just weeping and wallowing in the floor of the house. And the preacher and evangelist went in there, and they went in there to go in there to pray with him and to give him aid. And here's what the wife said that had dealt with this old mean, nasty sinner for years. Here's what she said. She stopped the preacher and the evangelist. She said, leave him alone. She said, let him take his fill of it. She said, the Spirit of God's wallowing him around. Let him take his fill of sin so he's tired of it and he'll trust Jesus. Now, I want to tell y'all something. That's easy to say. That's hard to sit there and watch. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When the power and the Spirit of God gets a hold of somebody, it confronts us where we are, and I'm going to tell you what it does. It convicts us. You ever been convicted? First of all, you better thank God you have been. Because if you can sit through messages and never get convicted, I'd check what I have. I'd check what I have. Because I can promise you, if he's in there, he's revealing things. And so we must take the confrontation of the Spirit, but we also must just agree with the conviction of the Spirit as well. The truth of God's Word brings conviction. And that's the Holy Spirit dealing in our hearts. I say to all of us church members tonight, if you're here tonight, you're not saved. I would not walk out of this door without getting saved. But if you're here tonight and you are saved, how long has it been since you've truly gotten convicted when you've heard the word of God. There's power in that. The gospel is not only confrontational, but it's convicting. And then as I close, because we want to have prayer tonight, but here's what's amazing. It's continuing. Look at verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient, gainsaying people. Here's what the Lord said. I was pleading with you then. He said, I'm pleading with you now. Here's what's amazing. He's still pleading now. Salvation was offered then, and by the way, you know what? It's still being offered today. Hey, can I say to everyone here, God's grace is still extended to you. And by the way, you say, Pastor, is there still hope for the unsaved? Oh, yes. There's still hope for the unsaved. Why? Because the gospel continues. So, church, how are we going to take this? Look, we ought to be excited and thankful that we've heard the truth. And we respond to the truth. But what about that one? Maybe tonight, you're asking God to break your heart over someone, to be burdened over someone that you really want to see God work in their hearts. You say, well, Pastor, what's going to work? They've tried everything. They've tried AAA. They've tried this. They've tried that. I'll tell you what, the gospel works. The truth convicts. And so I pray that you'll pray tonight. You'll ask God to help us to be faithful with the greatest message we've ever heard.